Thank you for joining me. We have open phone lines. We're listening to your stories. You can also email me, dave@darknessradio.com. If you have a point or a question, concern, something you'd like to share with us, you can shoot them to me right now, dave@darknessradio.com. We're also taking your phone calls. First-time caller, Vernon in North Arizona. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hi, Vernon. Good, Vernon. What did you want to share?
Oh, yeah. I had an experience. I do security.
Okay.
I had an experience a few years ago, my first summer here. It was about midnight one night, and I kind of started nodding off. And I dozed off, I guess, and I woke up sometime later. And it was about time for me to do my security rounds. So I got up and I went to go outside and I noticed my security key. I didn't have it. I usually have it. It'll be dangling on my wallet chain. So I looked around the office on the floor and in the bathroom. It was not anywhere inside. So I opened the door. I propped it open with a rock. I looked on the sidewalk outside and I couldn't find it. And then I opened the security vehicle, and it was placed neatly on the floor where the feet, where your feet go for the gas pedal and brake areas. And I needed it to get inside the office because the door stays locked on the outside, so it couldn't have fallen off and I couldn't have gone in because the doorknob to the door stays locked. So a bit puzzled, I just put it on, did my rounds, I went back to the office. And I kind of nodded off again, and I woke up again, and then the same thing happened. So I went out, and this time it was on the seat. Remember when you put the seat, adjust the seat back forward and back, the back part? It was in that hinge area in there. And then I just put it back on my lanyard, and I did my rounds again. And then after that, you know, I never went back to sleep, and I kind of had a little chills after that. And I watch over a place called the Cameron Trading Post, and it's reputed to be haunted. People hear footsteps, doors open at night, lights turn on and off in the motel. There's an old gallery that used to be the original motel. So people would see lights turning on and off at night. And I'd hear some stuff like footsteps, but I never seen anything actual, like an apparition, but I did have that experience, and that's the only thing I cannot explain. I'll hear stuff, but you know, I just thought I'd share that with you.
Very cool. Thank you. I appreciate the call on that, Vernon. You've had a chance to have these kind of experiences and see this. Is there anything, you know, I mean, do you talk to your relatives or friends about this? Is this something that other people are experiencing as well?
Dave, you're breaking up. I'm sorry. You're breaking up. Could you repeat that again?
I just wondered, you know, are other friends and relatives, coworkers, anything like that, are they experiencing these kind of situations as well?
Yeah, I had a brother about 2-3 years ago. He does security also.
Mm-hmm.
And he was out in the back on the maintenance service road. It's right. We're built right on the edge of the Colorado River, the beginning of the Grand Canyon. And it was right edge of the canyon. There's a service road, and it was a really windy night, and he was going on that service road, and right in front of him, he saw an apparition of a woman. He described her pretty good. He said shoulder-length hair, and I guess he stopped. He kind of figured that maybe it's a tourist. He stopped, but he could see through her. I guess she was, like, transparent. He could see that she was standing by a tree, so he could see the leaves blowing through her body. He went out and he approached her, and I guess she, whatever it was, it started towards the canyon, the edge of the cliff. He followed her with his light, and then he followed the apparition, whatever it was. And I guess it couldn't have been a person, because after the lady left, he went out there and he shined down the canyon. That's like a 60 to 80 foot drop. So whatever it was, started towards the canyon, and he never saw it again. Yeah, and
cool.
I also had an experience about a month ago. I was opening with the manager about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, And there was an office door. I didn't have my light. I was turning on lights, and I heard an office door close. And people hear that at night. The opening managers will call me in. They would hear the restroom faucets turn on, toilets flush. Did this metal stall doors opening and closing. They'd be hearing stuff like that, and doors opening, lights turning on. I would not be able to see a lights turning on at night, but, you know, I keep an eye over the place, but I never really saw anything other than that. But they would, there's a lot of other stories, but that's the main thing I can remember. And, so I just thought I'd share that with you.
Thank you very much for listening and sharing your story. We'll continue with more of your phone calls. Stay tuned. You're listening to the best in overnight talk radio. For George Norrie, I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Hello and welcome back. This is Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie will be back with you on Monday. He is right now in Salt Lake City. You can see him in person at the Jeannie Wagner Theater in Salt Lake City, Utah. A few tickets still remain for March 10th at 5 p.m. You can get information and tickets at artsaltlake.org. That's artsaltlake.org. 801-355-2787. You can call them for tickets as well. 801-355-2787. You could enjoy watching George Norrie as he interviews ancient technology expert Jason Martell, UFO investigator and journalist Nick Pope, and the man who died three times and lived to talk about it, Danyon Brinkley, will be his special guests on stage for a live Q&A. And George will belt out a few songs for you with a live band. So go check that out. And all that information on George Norrie, the show, his TV series Beyond Belief, it's all available right at his site. Go check out coasttocoastam.com. Let's go back to the phone lines. We're going to start up at Wildcard Line 1. We've got Tom in the Bronx. Welcome.
Sim, how are you? I'd like to say this, that Forbidden Planet, it talks about what your guest you had on talks about. In other words, it's the monsters of the mind, the id. You recall Forbidden Planet?
Yes, certainly.
Oh, yes. Well, that's what, when I was a kid, I'd seen that movie, and I didn't tie it up. You know, I was looking for the monster in the movie.
Right.
And I didn't realize that it was the mind. And then I realized, I guess I'd seen the movie years later, and I said, oh, that's what it was all about, you know.
Right, it's interesting to watch it as a kid and then go back at it with an adult perspective and see it's such a multi-layered, and that's what made it so great, right? I mean, it kind of hits on all pistons because you've got a multi-layered story going on.
Right. And the character's name was Morpheus, God of Sleep.
Right.
Yeah, so that was it. But I can understand where people can actually generate their own monsters, so to speak. I comprehend that very well.
You do. Right. Do you think that they are doing it on purpose, or do you think it's just...
No, I think it just happens. I think it's just a matter of fact. It happens. In other words, it's a good imagination, I imagine. You can say that.
All right. Some thank you very much.
Maybe some of it's actually real, you know. I mean, some of it obviously is real. Some of it's imagination. It's easy to develop monsters, you know what I mean? You think you see something, a particular location, and it's quite possible. Maybe I was thinking maybe what you saw could have been a bear.
No. What I saw was definitely not a bear. I'd be more willing to believe it was a vagrant with some kind of tattered sweatshirt or something over the hand that looked like it. Then I would believe it was a bear. It was not an animal per se. I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but it fits in line with what most people see as a bear. It did not have a protruding nose. It had a very human-looking nose. It but it looked off. It did not look natural, like nothing I've ever seen before or since. But thank you very much for calling in and weighing in on it. Appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Wildcard Line 2, Chuck in Texas. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us, Chuck?
Hi, Dave. What I wanted to shout out here is I found on Google Earth, Google Earth, on the Mars blowout, where you can look at the Mars planet, I found there are, in the southern hemisphere, glyphs or binary coded pattern on the ground that covers about an 800 square mile area. And if you want to equate these to like an optical disc, the little bits,
mm-hmm.
Well, these are quite large. These bits about 300 square feet. And there's different designs. They're laid out in parallel paths, and they're all next to each other. And there's some that have been washed out by water or whatever. And so I just wanted to pass this along to everybody. It sure says that there was a civilization on Mars at one time, as far as I can tell.
At least that's
what your location
is.
If you would like to hear it.
Sure, go ahead.
It's kind of long. It's 80 degrees, 28 minutes, 34 seconds south, S. And then the other half is 9 degrees, 38 minutes and 38 seconds west, and you just type that into the search section in the top left corner, and it'll take you, you just hit the search button, and it'll take you there.
Excellent. And, well, thank you for giving us that information. I'm sure we'll have listeners checking that out and punching it in. Let's go to our next call. We've got Wildcard Line 3, Dave in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave. What's going on?
Well, I've got a story about a banshee sighting.
Okay, let me hear this.
Okay, when I was over in Germany, I was in the Air Force, and I was a member of a little theater group. And we used to go down to the guest house after practice and everything and have beers and pizza. Anyway, there was this girl and our lady in the little theater group that everybody swore that she was a witch. You could not look at her. You could not stand to look straight at her. Just for a second, you'd have to turn away. You just couldn't look at her. Her face was just so, I don't know, scary. But anyway, we went down to the gas house, and we started talking about telepathy. So she said that I was a candidate for it. So she would think of a number and try to mentally tell me what the number was. Well, we couldn't do it. And she said, well, let's try it the other way. You think of a number and try to tell me, and I'll tell you what it is. And she said that how you do that is you think it so hard that it almost goes to your lips, but you don't say it. And so I tried it, and she missed the first number. Hmm. She said, try it again. And so I really thought of a number. I even wrote it down, and I know nobody saw me write it down. And she got the second number, and six more in a row that I was trying to tell her. And so I was getting ready to write down the next number, and my pencil was going toward the paper, and she said four. And I was going to write down four. Scared me to death. So anyway, we left the guest house, and we said we're going to take a shortcut back to the base. And we went through this farmer's field and a little tractor trail, and me and this a friend of mine, girl, we got out ahead of the crowd. like about maybe even 30 to 50 yards. And there was a boulder on the side of the road, and there was a banshee sitting on the rock, her head hanging over, and she was combing her hair down and kind of wailing a little bit. We looked at it, we looked at each other, and she said, "Did you see that?" And we looked back, and it was gone. And the reason I know we saw it is she told me what we saw, explained it to me. So,
well, I thought the old saying is, if you see a banshee,
pardon?
That means if you hear a banshee, someone you know is going to die. If you see a banshee, you're
all right.
Going to die. Yeah.
And what happened was, after it went away, the crowd, the people behind us, caught up with us, and we told them what we saw, and they kind of laughed. And that's an Irish, a banshee is Irish. Well, there was one Irish girl, they were maids for the officers on the base, and she was Irish, and she believed it. And she was the only one that believed it, that what we saw. So we went on back to the base, and the next morning, that was on a Saturday night, the next morning, we were going into town, and I don't know what for. We were, Vips and I, that's her name, we were going into town. We went back through that little village where the gas house was, and we looked over, and there was a church. And there was a crowd outside the church, and there was pallbearers bringing a casket out of the church to put in. And I looked at her, and I said, I don't believe that. So that's my little banshee story. Scared the living daylights out of me.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us. Let's go to Wild. Well, I don't, do we have time here? Yeah, I guess we can try to squeeze one in. Wild card line 4, Jay in St. Paul, Minnesota. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave, always love when you host the show. I feel like you're representing us here in the great state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Jay. What did you want to share?
I used to call you on Darkness Radio before you did the podcast quite a bit, so it's good to talk to you again.
Nice to catch up with you.
I wanted to call about, you know, your previous guest was talking about some of these things potentially be created by a thought form, and it made me think of something, and I missed the first hour because here they don't broadcast the first hour on Friday nights until they repeated at 4 a.m. So I don't know if this came up or not, but there was an experiment in 1972 called the Philip Experiment.
Yeah, we covered that.
I'm familiar with this. Oh, yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. See, I missed the first hour, so I wasn't sure. But I was wondering if you thought that there was some sort of a connection or if, you know, some or my question with regard to that experiment is, do you think perhaps there was some entity that decided to take on this persona and masquerade just
right.
to have fun with the people?
I kind of brought that up again a little bit ago, saying that, you know, if it were my spirit and I was here wandering the earth and got bored, and all of a sudden I see, you know, people aren't trying to find Dave Schrader's ghost, but they're trying to communicate with a spirit that doesn't exist, I would be the kind that feels like I would step in and say, yeah, okay, I'm Philip. Let's have a little fun with this. So,
right,
yeah, I can see that conceivably on either side.
Also, but it also lends a lot of credence to what your guest was talking about the idea that, you know, perhaps the human mind does create a lot of these things because, you know, the researchers that in the test group that participated in this experienced quite a bit of paranormal activity that they have documented that they couldn't really explain besides the fact that they, you know, thought that they had created that entity. So,
well, Bill Murphy weighed in at the top of the second hour about this as well, so you can check that out. But in the future, just check out knsiradio.com. And you can stream the show in its entirety every Friday and Saturday night, or get the KNSI radio app, and you can catch up with the entire show and stream it from anywhere in the United States. So in the Twin Cities, if you're missing that first hour, you'll be able to catch it by checking out the KNSI radio app. We've got more of your calls coming your way, so stay tuned. This is Coast to Coast AM. Thank you for joining me. Having a great time as always. I'll be back again tomorrow. Zach Bagans from TV's Ghost Adventures will join me to talk about his new documentary coming up this month about the Demon House in Indiana, probably one of the most compelling and well-documented paranormal experiences witnessed by clergy, by the police, by medical personnel, and the family that survived the ordeal. We'll talk about that, plus his haunted museum in Las Vegas, some of the interesting and unique items he has, and some of the strange activity that is also going on there at the museum. And then Caroline Corey will join us for the remainder of the show tomorrow to talk about E.T., Alien, and the documentary that she's been working on. So make sure you set your schedule to join us here again tomorrow, midnight till 4 a.m. Central. I look forward to being a part of that. Remember, if you like the strange and the supernatural, check out darknessradio.com. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, bringing you the best in paranormal talk radio. And every Tuesday, True Crime Tuesday, you can hear some of the most interesting and bizarre true crimes, along with some dumb crimes and stupid criminals thrown in for added measure. All that information on me and our show is right at our website, darknessradio.com. That's darknessradio.com. Check it out and visit it right now. Go check it out while you're listening to the show. And you can email me as the show progresses this evening if you have stories and points you'd like to make. You can email me very simply at dave@darknessradio.com. We've got your calls to wrap up the remainder of today's show. I'm Dave Schrader, and you're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to the show. Coast to Coast AM is on the air. Your phone calls as we continue west of the Rockies, Remy in Mexico. Thank you for listening, Remy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. What did you want to share with us tonight?
I want to share a story that I actually have never told anyone since it happened. Other great. Than the people who were there are the only ones that know. I was in a military unit, and we got called in to verify the kill count on an airstrike inside a building. So okay. They physically wanted us to go inside the building and count as many bodies as we could. Obviously, it was total destruction when we went in there. But surprisingly, everything was stainless steel. So it was just like twisted soda cans. I mean, the building was absolutely destroyed, but everything was stainless steel. So we're searching the building, and we had just cleared what you would call a huge kitchen. I mean, big stainless steel countertops, all that other stuff. The second we walked out of the room, the last person through the door, it sounded like someone threw a million knives, forks, and spoons across the countertops. We all obviously stopped in our place and realized that was very weird. A very strange smell came out, started emitting, and we said, you know what? Let's just make up a number and let's get the hell out of this, get out of this building.
Right.
So we get out of the building and we're about 500 yards away. And we're watching it. And we're talking about what we just saw. And we see this figure, a black figure that you can clearly see through on the roof, run, hide behind a chimney, look out, like look to see if anybody's looking, and then continue running towards the end of the roof, which was highly elevated, and then he just disappeared. Well, fast forward many years, and every single one of those people that were there with me that day have died of some crazy disease. Like, two have died of Lou Gehrig's disease. Two have died of brain cancer. One committed suicide. Another died of another form of cancer. I mean, the story just keeps going on and on and on. And it's very, very, very bizarre. That incident stays with me. Every year on Ghost to Ghost, I always think about calling in and telling this story because it's just so mind-blowing. It was just so disturbing. It was very strange.
That is bizarre. I mean, are you worried now because so many of the other people that were a part of that are gone and in strange ways, or do you feel that you've kind of dodged that bullet?
I feel like I dodged it in a little way, but I kind of feel like they got my number. Like, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
Like I kind of feel like I'm next because I'm the only one that's left. But
Does that put you looking over your shoulder, or are you?
No, I'm not looking over my shoulder.
Okay.
Just health wise, I'm very conscious. I'm a hardcore vegan. I live in Mexico. I'm a surfer. I'm a photographer. So, but yeah, it's definitely always in the back of your mind. We referred to it as Building 13, the guys, we would call it Building 13, and everybody would know exactly what you're talking about. And it was the strangest thing I've ever encountered, especially, like I said, that being or whatever it was, maybe it was a shadow or something, but it ran across that rooftop. It hid behind that chimney. It looked out before it started running again, and then it straight up disappeared. And it was, you add that with what we smelled and heard and saw inside that building.
Right.
It was just a calamity of spookiness and eeriness. So,
It sounds like, first of all, thank you for serving and doing that. But yeah, what a chilling, weird aspect. And, I like your attitude that you're not looking over your shoulder in fear, but you do still have that sense that you're not completely in the clear either.
Exactly. I'm not completely safe, but nobody is, but I'm not worried about it. I'm living the life that I choose to live. And
that's all we can hope for. That's all we can hope for. Thank you, Remy. Let's go to first time caller, Maya in Southern California. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us?
Hi. This happened in the 90s in eastern San Diego County, which is country living, a lot of long, empty highways. My parents had 12 acres up there. And one time my friend came over, I gave her the bed. And so I was sleeping on my floor. And I woke up and there was this young girl kind of hovering above me. She was wearing a brown dress with flowers on it. She was holding her face, just screaming, "Help me, help me." And I remember kind of being in a dream state, and I jumped up and I said, "Okay, okay." And I ran to my light on my wall. I turned it on and I screamed at my friend, "We got to help her. We got to help her." And at that point it was like, I kind of woke up, but you could see outside my bedroom window that there was an ambulance on the highway that bordered our property. And it turned out that there was a mom and a daughter who had flipped their vehicle. So I don't know if it was the spirit of the girl or.
That's that's kind of heartrending, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But it stuck with me. And that was,
understandable.
It was like 96, 97. And I've always thought of it, and I vividly see it to this day.
Well, thank you for calling in, Maya. Wow, what an impactful story. Wildcard Line 1, Nick in Seattle, Washington. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us?
Hey, I do security, and I go to a cemetery 2-3 times a night. And before I had ever did that, a couple of coworkers had told me that they seen orbs. And the very first time I went there, I thought I had seen one, and we all compared stories and stuff, and I'm not 100% convinced that I seen one because there's a lot of reflection at the cemetery.
Right.
And I've been going there 3 days a week, a couple times a night for the last probably 4 months. And the last, I'd say, a couple weeks, I've felt very unwelcome there. I was wondering if there's anything that you can say about the unwelcomeness of there?
Yeah, I don't know, because again, I don't know if that's just an internal thing for you, if it's kind of that little safety alarm ringing in your head because, of the stories you've heard and what you may have witnessed there. Is it really a sense of you're not welcome? And a lot of times, just to be honest with you, if you're just open, this is what I've heard from everybody that goes out on these kind of things, just be open and say, you know what, I'm not here to bring you any harm. I'm a guardsman. I'm here in respect. This is my job. Let me do what I need to do. You do what you need to do. And sometimes just by stating that out loud and setting that intention, you might see that there's that sense of relief that'll go away from you. So I would give that a shot first, Nick.
There, another guard, he said that he seen the orb and he walked up to it and said, show yourself. He actually wrote an email to you guys and made it, you guys read the email on the show. I guess.
Oh, very cool.
Probably a couple months ago. But we've even, not me personally, but one of my coworkers, they found orb hunters at the cemetery.
Okay. Orb hunters at the cemetery?
Yeah. Supposedly there's a lot of activity at this place.
Could be. You know, I'm the only kind of orbs that really interest me are the ones you're able to see with your bare eyes, right? That it's not something you're looking at through a camera lens where reflections and refractions and lights and bugs flying close by or dust and moisture could easily be photographed and giving you that. But if you are seeing things with your naked eye, that's going to be something that's intriguing to me. Thank you so much again for listening and giving us a call. We appreciate that. Wild card line to Anthony in Pittsburgh, PA. You've seen a shadow person?
Yeah. How's it going, first off, Dave?
Say that again?
I said, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks a lot for giving us a call. Tell me about your shadow person experience.
Yeah, man. You know what? This is actually a story I shared on your local show years back. But,
okay.
You know, just thinking about it in hindsight, you know, just getting more serious on it myself. But, yeah, basically, it was 12 years ago. I was with an ex-girlfriend coming home. Her little brother was with me as well. And me and him were walking to the kitchen. And basically at the same time, noticed a person in the doorway to go to the basement. So, like, instantly I'm thinking there's someone in my house, you know?
Right.
So I bolt down the steps. Like, I was 18 at the time. I was down there, like, in a flash, you know? So anyway, the back door's locked. There's nobody there. And what we both seen was basically a taller than normal figure, like, with almost like an abstract type pointed head. And, I mean, you could definitely feel, like, its observation of you. It stared at us for about, like, 3, 4, 5 seconds.
Were there any other senses? Did you hear anything? Could you smell anything? Could you feel anything?
I definitely felt like, you know, if you're sitting in a room and your cat walks in or another person walks in and you have that sense.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that. Like, I could definitely feel like there was some intelligence behind whatever that being was doing.
And did it leave you with a sense that you were, I don't know, you know, that this thing has remained with you? Or has this left you with a sense that you're not really alone, that this thing is always kind of around?
Kind of. I mean, I'm just trying to think of what it could have been. And I'm kind of going with, like, it definitely seemed like what they call the shadow man phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and in some cases, I think it's just simply a spirit that's not able to manifest fully. And it could just be that shadow, that echo of what once was. So I wouldn't be too concerned. I mean, you know, if there's something truly evil, you know when you're up against something truly evil. It lets itself be known. Thank you for calling, Anthony. We appreciate that. Let's go wildcard line 3, Gail in Louisville, Kentucky. We've got about 3.5 minutes left together. Can you squeeze in a quick story?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Go ahead. What did you want to share?
Well, first of all, I'm new to Coast to Coast as an insider, and so it's a pleasure to speak to you.
It's great
and I have two stories, but since you're pressed for time, I'll go to the historical one first.
Okay.
We bought 25 acres out in the county about a year and a half ago, and it has a pond on it, and I was a little uncomfortable around that pond. I never did like it. And one day I was standing out in the field, and I could see the pond, and I was sort of daydreaming. And all of a sudden, I got the sensation that there was a person or a ghost or something around me. And I got this image of a little boy, probably around 4 or 5 years old. But he was dressed in sort of the turn-of-the-century clothes, like back in the 1920s or something. And it started to play out like a movie. And apparently, his family had come down from up north to see this lady called Amy Simple McPherson, the revivalist.
Okay.
She was having a tent revival in out in the county. And they had come all the way down by train to see her. And this couple...
We have about a minute left just to give you the insight.
Anyway, to make a long story short, the boy's dog ran off towards the pond to chase a ball, and the little boy ran after him and slipped in the mud and drowned in this pond.
Oh.
And the mother got hysterical and eventually had a nervous breakdown. And I saw all of this. I got names. I got the everything about the family. Well, eventually, the whole family crossed over except for the little boy. And I saw him again a few months ago, and I told him to go into the light, and I explained to him how to do it and told him there would be somebody there that would help him do it. And at first he was scared, and then finally he did cross over into the light. And now when I go around the pond, I don't feel anything.
Well, thank you for doing that. As a father myself, it's nice to know there's somebody like you out trying to help children's spirits that may be lost. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in and being a part of our show, and welcome to the Coast Insider. We appreciate you being a part of it. Speaking of thank yous, I want to thank everybody involved in tonight's show, Nathan and Donna back at home office for keeping things rolling for us, my producer and engineer Tim Dennis here in Minnesota, Chris Boros, my producer, Lisa Lyon, of course, George Norrie, and my guests Nick Redfern and Bill Murphy from ghosttown.tv. That's ghosttown.tv. Thank you all for being a part of the show. I'll be back again with you tomorrow night. Remember, you can see George Norrie live Saturday, March 10th at the Jeannie Wagner Theater. You can get information at artsaltlake.org. That's artsaltlake.org. Meet the master in person right in Salt Lake City. We'll talk to you again tomorrow here on Coast to Coast AM.